Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Tina Zion, who is the author of Become a Medical Intuitive, The Complete Developmental Course. Tina is a fourth-generation psychic medium and an expert, of course, in medical intuition. She started in the mental health field as a registered nurse, and then did training in clinical hypnotherapy, and did some training with Michael Newton at the Michael Newton Institute, specializing in past life regression and looking at the times between the lives. And as I was mentioning to her before, I've interviewed Michael Newton previously on this work, a particularly interesting work. And now she also has is a contributing author in Newton's latest book, Memories of the Afterlife. But now she's concentrating on her medical intuitive work, and especially the training of medical intuitives, which is so important now. Thanks, Tina, for joining us. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. I know I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, I guess we can begin a little bit by talking about what medical intuition is and how we all get, I guess, clues and signals about other people and about ourselves, and how we can recognize that.
Well, in my mind, medical intuition is a very, very, very natural intuitive way that we can sense for ourselves in our own body, but also for other people, what I call the deeper or the more entire story that's behind an illness. And what we actually have the ability to enter into the body, our sensors entering into another person and looking at the different organs, looking at different illnesses, and receiving information that really is all about that mind-body connection that, you know, we see on TV all the time. And we really do have this ability to help each other. And I am absolutely committed and fascinated about teaching people how to do this, because here in my local area, people will come to me, and then I also do a lot of phone sessions and sessions on Skype for people at a distance. And my hope is, and I'm finding this more and more, that people will take this information to their medical doctors, and they are beginning to include, you know, these really psychic insights into the medical situation that's going on with the person. So, you know, my hope is to teach medical intuitives all over the place, so that this becomes more and more and more of a normal awareness of the whole story behind illness. I guess that's how I would answer, you know, your question about what it is. And to me, it's picking up the entire story, or at least a more thorough story, that x-rays, CT scans, lab reports really can't pick up.
Yeah, well, there's two things that come to mind when I think of medical intuition. One is the tremendously expensive cost of current medical technology, especially when doctors aren't really trained in physical diagnosis and they order a whole slew of tests. I mean, patients come in here, I treat women ill from the effects of breast implants, so chemical and biotoxicity, mold,
yes,
that kind of thing, and then, of course, all the other things that happen, viral infections, intracellular infections, yeast and mold infections. So when I'm seeing them, they usually have $50,000 worth of negative testing, you know, and, mm-hmm, and the surgery to remove their implants about $6,000, so that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But many, many of the patients who come here get here because of medical intuitives. They've been to all these doctors who say can't find anything wrong with them except that they're incredibly ill, can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And they go to a medical intuitive or a psychic, and they go, it's your breast implants. I mean, it's the first thing they say. Your breast implants are making you sick. And, you know, probably you can imagine what a medical intuitive would see. They would see inflammation and maybe dark areas in,
you know,
you can describe it to the listening audience. If somebody had leaking breast implants, you'd see the material leaking out in the lymphatics, and it would be really clear to the medical intuitive that this was the problem.
Yes.
So
that
would save a lot of money.
Well, it would save a lot of money. But, you know, it's that my passion is for allopathic traditional Western medicine to really complement each other with the intuitive work. And, you know, I think we're kind of sort of beginning to lean in that direction, and you're a prime example of how you are accepting and are aware of the information that comes to you from an intuitive. So, and that thrills me to no end. I can't even tell you.
Well, a lot of the doctors coming up now, I taught some of the Emory Medical students here in Atlanta. A lot of the doctors are very, very intuitive. And, of course, nurses typically are very intuitive, as you probably know, probably more so than most doctors. But a good doctor, a good nurse, or a good medical technician will have the gift of medical intuition. They will kind of, their attention will go toward that area that that needs attention. And so, you know, we should probably be teaching this as a part of medical education. And then, of course, you know, the other people who have interest in medical intuition should also go through training courses, complete with, you know, anatomy, physiology. The more that you know in terms of how the body works, the more specific the information you can be given, you know, the more, you know, detailed it can get, you know, because if you don't know that there's a stone can get in the common bile duct and block the liver, you might not know what you're seeing when you look at a, you know, a bile duct blockage. If you think that there's only stones in the gallbladder, you know, there's, you might not interpret it correctly.
Yes. Well, and especially I've been seeing that over, I would say the last year and a half, that I go all over the country, and now I'm going international teaching how to do this step by step by step. And you know who's beginning to show up are nurse practitioners, nurses.
Mm-hmm.
I've had physical therapists. I've had a few physicians. And you know what they all say is they began to notice their intuition when they would walk into the hospital room, or they would walk into their exam room, and they would just get a hit about what's going on before they say a word, before they put the stethoscope on them. They're beginning, even in the allopathic practitioners, they're beginning to notice, wait a minute, I already know something that's going on here before I do my traditional standard tests. And you do hear a lot of that from nurses, too.
I'll give our listeners an example of that. I had a patient come to me with seizures, and, you know, I'm not a neurologist, and I really don't even treat seizures, but patients sent to me, a lot of times people are sent to me with difficult things that nobody can figure out. So this patient had been to Mayo Clinic and to Hopkins and to Emory and on all these drugs and still had seizures. So I walk in the room, and before I even introduce myself, I go, how much Diet Coke do you drink? And he goes, a liter a day. I said, stop it. In the consult, he stopped it. Seizures went away.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, how much money had been spent? How much money had been spent on this individual?
Unbelievable amount.
To no avail. This is really what I would say. And I gave a talk at the Global Humanitarian Conference at Emory a couple of years ago on the cost benefits of spiritual medicine. And a big part of it was starting with medical intuition. You start with a medical intuitive. Then you follow up with the correct diagnostic tests. And then you realize that much of disease, there are physical aspects that cause physical disease. The leaking breast implant is a perfect example.
Yes.
You know, there can be absolutely nothing in the mental and emotional and spiritual realm with that other than maybe the thought crossed the person's mind before they got breast implants that maybe they shouldn't get them, but they ignored it. You know, that's about the only spiritual lesson there, is that little intuitive hint, like, well, maybe this isn't going to be a good idea, you know, from the soul level, but that we didn't listen to.
Well, that's
but essentially, you know, essentially, so many of the illnesses have a mental, emotional, and spiritual, and even past life. And even like when you were giving examples of removing implants, I've seen implants in people too. You know, the other galactic connections that some of us have, there's a lot to take into consideration when somebody's sick. And I don't think doctors spread their mind wide enough to take in all of the, you know, all of the potential causes. And without knowing the cause, you really don't do anything but cover up the symptoms.
Yes, and always treating symptoms, and the symptoms tend to float around or move mm-hmm. around in a physical body. And so it is kind of a chasing game so many times. Yeah, so many times.
And in your book, I love when you are talking about the patients who actually, I mean, you're hearing things that you don't understand. You say them, and then the person says, "Yes, I knew that. You know, I knew that was the problem." And you're going, "Oh my God, I can't believe that they knew that was the problem." Patients usually often know what's wrong with them and why.
Yes, they
and
do.
So. If you just, there's a saying in medicine, if you listen to the patient long enough, they'll tell you what's wrong with them. And if you listen a little longer, they'll tell you how to fix it.
You know? Yes, I love that. Oh, just talking to you, I'm sitting here with a huge grin on my face. I love this. I love talking about it. I love sharing, you know, the awarenesses that we have. And, you know, one of the reasons that people fail in their intuitive awareness, or they think they're feeling, is they blow off the thoughts that pop in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to blow them off, they negate it, they say, oh, you know, I was just worried about getting the breast implant, it wasn't an
mm-hmm.
intuitive
right.
insight, when actually that is one of the ways the intuition comes, is thoughts popping in. Yeah,
and I would say that if you feel like, this is what I say to myself, so I'm saying it to the audience. Mm-hmm. If you feel that these thoughts are not, are too fleeting, are too they don't get your attention enough, that would be a good time to take up a spiritual practice like meditation or yoga or whatever spiritual practice you're attracted to. Because once you begin a spiritual practice, then you actually get a better impression of what's coming from the higher realms. It's more of a impression that you can say, oh yeah, that's something I should pay attention to. And that's why this information coming in is actually extremely valuable. I mean, imagine getting the information that you shouldn't go into a marriage, it's just going to be hell, you know, and then you're going to have to get divorced, you know. It would be much better to get that information than not, you know, than wander in and have to get out of a bad marriage. So, you know, it's just real important to open yourself up to all of this intuitive guidance.
Well, and I tell people, too, that if their life is one bumpy road after another and it feels like they're running into boulders along the path in their life, if they would just slow down for just moments, just a couple of minutes a day in that meditative time, that mm-hmm. and they pay attention to what I call pops in, the path in front of them will smooth out, because you will get this information ahead of time, and it will come in a, you know, intuitive awareness, and it will smooth out the path of their life every single time. I see that. I hear all the stories about it. Oh, I just started listening to my inner voice, so I started listening to my guides, or, mm-hmm. you know, I started meditating, and some of my problems just fell away.
Right. That's true. Well, one of the things is we don't realize how much guidance we actually have, because we're unaware of the spiritual realms for the most part. But we have a great deal of guidance. We had a meditation group the other night, and we went around the group to determine how many guides each of us had. And most of us had between 15 and 25 guides, which is interesting. But one of the people who is known for guiding the clairvoyance had like 47 guides. And the reason he had more guides is because we always call him with all of our questions to get confirmation. So that was interesting. So he had even more guides than we did. For different things, business, medicine. You know, the guides have different specialties.
Yes.
So.
Yes, they do. And when I teach my workshop, we actually take time to call in, introduce ourselves, meet a medical intuitive specialist or a medical specialist in the spiritual realm to assist, because the more we get out of the way, the clearer the information will be.
Right. That's very true.
Yeah, we have to get ourselves. That's what I have noticed. The less we think about ourselves personally as we do this for another person, the clearer the information is.
It's true. So you want to give us a little bit about some of the basics of medical intuition? I know you've written a whole book on it, so there's a lot there. But how would you start to tell someone what they need to pay attention to when they're doing a reading for themselves or someone else?
I would ask them to notice their own, let's say that they are doing a session with another person. And if they, before they begin the session, I take a moment and I just check myself out. Do I have any pressure in my head? Do I have an ache and pain anywhere? Just kind of do an instant assessment. And then when I enter into the session, anything that I notice physically as I enter into the session with another person is a signal about them. And so, you know, that's why I make clear about where you're at before you enter the session, and then notice what changes. Now all of a sudden I have, you know, a pressure on the right side of my head. Well, that's information about the other person. You're not picking up their illness. You're really just getting a signal. So I ask people to really just pause for that moment and notice yourself, and then notice how signals change in your own physical body. That's one important thing. And, you know, I'd even back up from that, is intuition gets ignored because it really feels like imagination. So I would ask the listeners to notice that the feel of intuition will feel really exactly the same as imagination, that I just dreamed it up. And that's one of the things that gets in the way of people excelling at intuition in general, let alone medical intuition, is it's always going to feel imaginary because it's generally not on a physical level anyway. It's etherical. It's already in the air around us. It's already, I don't know, what would be a word, wispy, I guess. And if people can get it in their minds that it's going to feel like you just dreamed it up, and if they could accept that the feel of it will always feel like imagination, although it's not imagination, but it will feel like imagination. Oh my goodness, that would open up doors for people.
Yeah, that's very important. In the meditation group, we often start when we're telling people things we see. In my imagination, I am seeing. That's often, it's kind of a little joke we have, you know, because it does feel like imagination.
But then
a lot of the information is so incredibly precise, and then, you know, when it comes to pass, you go, oh my goodness, that couldn't have been just you making it up, you know, from the personality level. There's no way, because you don't know that. So it has to come from beyond time and space. It just has to.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, you know, a first notice that it's going to feel like imagination. And then I say, too, that all of our senses, all the smell, taste, sight, our physical body, the knowing, all comes into play. So as you begin this, notice all of your senses. When I work with someone who's diabetic and their blood sugar is out of control, way too high, I will get a sweet, kind of thick, sticky flavor in my mouth. You know, so that's one of the ways that I pick up the information. It's just not all visual. It's through all of the senses. I would smell, I smelled a hot metallic smell with one client just recently, and they had been on chemotherapy.
Oh, chemo, those patients have energies coming off of them that are extremely toxic. I mean, I do, well, we have a cancer center here, and we do healings and help people through chemo, and it's very, very toxic. And then patients with cancer, especially when they have metastatic cancer, they, when you look at them, you just see these punched out areas, these just areas of either, I say, holes in the aura, just dark places, and that's where the metastatic disease is. And I used to think that, well, as a doctor, I thought it might be random, but actually I was told and shown that those are areas in the etheric that are weakened. I had a patient with metastatic disease to the skull, and when I was doing a healing, I saw her being hit by a soccer ball when she was 12, and it hit right on the skull, and that's where the met was. So they're trying to explain to me that the if there's an etheric, you know, in the etheric template level, if there's a injury there, then a met can go there because it's a weak area in the field. So even where the metastatic disease goes isn't random.
No, no, no. And, you know, notice that you said that you saw her being hit, what'd you say, with a softball?
Soccer ball. Well, you know, a little soccer ball. She was playing soccer,
Yes. Well, you know, you were actually, and that comes up too, you were actually picking up the information that was in her past. And that, see, that is one of the things that I mean by the entire story, is you will get pulled back into a past situation with somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the how you look at the system. I know one of the things is that you look at the aura, and that was, I guess, the first thing you do is look at the aura. Is that right? To, for any particular information coming out of the just the general energy around the body?
Yes, correct. Yeah, I just look at the aura, which is the energy field, you know, that is really emanating out beyond the skin. And I just pick up, and sometimes I'll pick up, oh, like with one woman recently, I heard people fighting kind of back behind her. And she said, oh, yes, that's going on in her household, that kind of thing. And then I get more and more precise. In fact, I began to do this and began to notice this. I was a Reiki practitioner, and I was noticing that I was picking up all kinds of stuff, and then I was picking up what I would call as things going on underneath the skin or beyond the skin. So, yes, pretty much the aura first. It'll be some general information, sometimes very specific. And then I just try to do a body scan. Sometimes I'm pulled very, very, very quickly to one particular area in a body. And this one person, it was her vaginal area and the struggles that she was having there. But generally, it's kind of a head to toe. Then is what I, you know, try to do. But boy, if I'm pulled to one area, even though it wasn't next on the list, I go where I'm pulled to.
Yeah, that's important, right? So when you have a problem in a particular area, then you do get information about what's behind the problem. That's what I like about medical intuition.
Yeah.
It's not just, stomach inflammation. You know, it's you get the information behind what caused it.
Yes.
And that's important.
It's very important because, our heads are connected to our bodies, that we're one unit. And so what we think and what our thoughts lead to emotions, and especially thoughts and emotions that repeat, how I describe it is it every time, let's say we had a worry already this morning and that same worry thought came up 10 times this morning already.
Right.
Well, that became a little more dense, a little thicker, a little more physical in nature. And, that will often become physical in nature and be in a certain location in their physical body eventually. So I use that as, as an example. If we had a thought, a worry 10 times this morning, well, we've given it some density.
Mm-hmm.
And where it shows up in the body is also very, very telling. Left-sided body, tends to be more of female characteristics. Right side of the body tends to be more male characteristics, or issues with males on the right side, or on the left, issues with females. So, then again, there's another level of information about what's going on, is what organ is being affected, or what body part, or what side of the body is being affected. So it's multi layered, I guess, is how I would describe the information that starts coming in.
Now, it seems to me that some of us are going through, I was doing this more in the past than now, but where past life issues are coming into the body and then passing on out, but the emotions and sometimes the physical pain and the different symptoms are occurring, especially from violent past life encounters.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if some of the panic attacks people are having isn't from that too.
Oftentimes, like your example, a panic attack, I will just check in with the panic attack, and I pause and see where I'm pulled. And sometimes I'm pulled to, when they were 5 years old in this current life, or I might be pulled to a trauma in their past life. Yeah, and, it's like a bit of a movie starts to play in my mind's eye, and I just go there because that's where I'm pulled.
Yeah. So I was thinking that perhaps the energies were being processed through in order to help us raise our vibrational rates, because things are still, things that are held in our field, either from this life or from previous lives, tend to weigh us down, but we're not really aware of them. I mean, they're outside of our normal awareness.
Correct, yeah, very much so.
So I think that's what might be happening, which is also good to know that, the pain in your heart is not the current blockage of an artery, but a previous life heart attack just passing through, just being released.
And, almost every time when I start, I tell my students, don't discount something strange that jumps into your awareness, because oftentimes it is past lives. And so I try to get across, don't discount that, and really go with that. And very quickly, one woman I was working with, I saw her head, the energy of her head, lift up and float above her body, and then float over to the side. And I actually then a whole decapitation in a past life came about, and I told her that, and she gasped. Made a gasping, sound, and I thought, oh, I've you know, she can't go into past life information. I thought it was a startle. No, you know what these people will say to you as a medical intuitive? Mm-hmm. They'll say, here's what she said. I have never felt like my head was attached to my body.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and it's
that
a
is wild.
It's a remarkable story, and I get covered with goosebumps right now telling it.
Yeah.
And it made so much sense to her. Give the information. Don't hold back even the weird stuff. Don't hold back. Give the information because I'm telling you, 98% of the time, they will already know. They will say that.
Yeah,
makes
that's
so
true.
Much sense.
Yeah, and you know, the sometimes like when I'm getting information, I kind of know, and you probably do too, whether or not, you know, you should frame it as a past life or just give the information without framing it that way. Because, you know, some people are not able to, you know, their belief systems are fairly structured and they're just, you know, they're just not able to go into other, you know, things outside these three dimensions. But
you'll get so you'll be aware of that. Or a lot of times somebody will sit down and they'll say, well, you know, this is really a stretch for me because I grew up in the church and,
mm-hmm.
you know, this really isn't natural for me, but I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. And like
mm-hmm.
you've already talked about, I've been to, you know, 10 different physicians and different clinics,
right.
and you're my last straw. You know?
Right.
And I know you hear that. It sounds
I
like
do.
You hear that also.
A lot.
We're their
last
hope.
Yeah, my patients, almost all of my patients get here because of some spiritual encounter. It can be because they prayed and then, you know, their doctor looked me up or their relative looked me up or they found me on the computer at 3 a.m. That's a good one. It seems like 3 a.m. is when your guides and spirit get you up and get you on the computer to find out where your problems are. And then again, the medical intuitives and psychics that point out the problem. And a lot of times, you know who it is? It's their mother. Their mother keeps saying, it's your breast implants. You know why? Because your mother knows. Your mother's connected to you.
The mother knows, yes.
The mother knows. It's, well, there's that special bond of protection, isn't there?
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's how they get here. So they're kind of open for the woo-woo stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But
they are.
But yeah. So do you have a website and contact information that you can give out?
Sure, yes. I'd love to. My website is livingawareinc.com. And I have become a medical intuitive, the complete developmental course. And then I also have another book that is doing well, and it's the Reiki Teacher's Manual. Because really, Reiki is how I started, even though I'm a fourth-generation psychic, it's the Reiki practice that I realized I was perceiving all kinds of things during Reiki sessions. That's really
mm-hmm.
how that started for me in particular.
Yeah, you're kind of immersed in the energy when you're doing any healing practice. You're you know, drawn to an area of a chakra or drawn to an area of an organ or wherever the person's hurt in case of injury. And then, like if I have my hand over the throat chakra, I'll often hear the argument they had with their boyfriend or I'll get the sense of what was, you know, that they can't speak because they're afraid of being fired at work, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that does jump up at you when you're right over it. And, I guess if you concentrate and use intent, you could get the same information. But for me, it's just easier when you're right there. You're right over the energy center.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the impressions that way.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons is we get out of our own way as we do energy work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell people, if you have any thoughts about yourself as you are doing this type of work, you're getting in your way. So when you get through an entire session and you didn't have a single thought about yourself, you just gave the clearest information because we are not in our own way. And I think that's what happens. We're in a meditative state, and a greater, higher level of information can come in then.
Yeah. Well, we're really tuning into another channel of communication, too. You know, when you're not thinking, one of my friends used to bug me all the time and say, "What are you thinking? What are you thinking?" And I realized I wasn't thinking. You know, it's like I had no thought at all. But, you know, I didn't have that awareness until I had that question put to me. And I think that I said, well, I'm not on transmit, I'm on receive. And then that way, if I walk around on receive all the time, if there's some important information, it's likely to get in.
Yes. Yeah. So beautiful way to describe it, even. I like that.
Yeah. So, I think you naturally go into that state when you're giving healing to somebody, I mean, during the healing practice, it's just easy to do that because you're immersed in the energy. And, so that would be a perfect way to figure out everything. And then after that, and you do it in your book because you go through all the chakras and you go through all the things that you observe at different levels, you do put a picture together of what certain emotional states, you know, where fear goes, where anger goes, where, you know, all of the different jealousy goes, you know.
Yeah.
It attacks certain parts of our body if we don't get, I mean, it's natural to feel some emotions, but if they get out of control, they can definitely affect different organs.
Yes, and I think, too, when they repeat day after day after day, mm-hmm. or year after year, it tends to get more physical and tends to go to different organs.
So do you want to talk a little bit about some of the, you might want to do it with the chakras or with the emotions, or I don't know, there's many different ways to look at it, but do you want to talk about some of the higher emotional, mental, spiritual things that can manifest as physical disease and how you pick those up?
As you asked me that question, this one person comes to mind, and I'm telling you, she has and still has the most beautiful, beautiful, iridescent, multicolored, like angelic energy field. She still has the clearest, most beautiful energy field I have ever seen with anyone. And so I'm going along, and I'm telling her about how beautiful it is and all this and that. And I get to this woman's liver, and I saw raw, dead meat. I saw it looked necrotic, you know, dying off. And I was startled, and because from head to toe, it was a completely different story. And so I described her liver to her, and again, a lot of times they'll tell you what's going on. Her eyebrows went up, her eyes were wide open, and she said, "My father is dying of liver cancer right now." And then she said, "I would take it on for him if I could."
Oh, no.
Yes, oh, no.
Be careful.
Exactly.
Be careful.
And I
don't
said,
do
that's
that.
Exactly what you're doing. Exactly what you're doing. And so, you know, there again, look at the importance of our thinking and our emotions.
Yeah.
And she had been right there with him every step of the way. We talked about it, and I said, let that man, even though he's your father, let that man have his own path and be with him as he has his own path. And she has gotten back with me, and about 6 weeks later, and she said, you know, he has passed. And I checked, and her liver just it looked as beautiful as the rest of her energy field. But look at that you know, that connection, but she was trying to take it on for him. And I'm confident it would have ended up somewhere down the line very physical for her as well.
Yeah, the only time I've ever heard of that being done successfully was with a master called Discalos. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He was on Cyprus. One of my friends who was a psychiatrist actually went and studied with him. And Discalos describes taking on the some really bad disease that his nephew had. And he explained it this way. He said, it would kill the nephew, but I can transmute it. And Discalos actually got sick. And he usually wasn't sick at all, but he got sick. They got over it. And then his nephew didn't die. So, you know, if you're a master, which we're not, okay, so if you're a master, you can probably do that because you can transmute the energy. But isn't it interesting that you can take on things from other people?
Yeah.
It's very interesting. It is possible.
And some of the Native American shamans do that same practice of drawing an illness out of someone into their own body. But I'm glad that you said, if you are not a master at the tradition, you're going to make yourself very ill, because I know here locally of someone who did that, and she's very ill. She uses a walker now, and she's in her 40s, and they can't find a single thing
anything wrong with her.
No, they can't find anything wrong.
Well, it's very difficult to see something energetic on a CAT scan.
We need
a better technology, an energy CAT scan, maybe.
An energy CAT scan, yes.
Yeah, right.
To see that matrix that's going on, you know, it's like a blueprint of our energy field. So that would be phenomenal.
Right.
But in the meantime, my goodness, use medical intuitives, you know, to at least get inside of a more thorough story with an illness.
Yeah, I had a similar story. I didn't even know I was doing it. My mom was had gastric cancer, and she was doing very well. She was out every day. She was, you know, carrying on. They decided not to treat her because she was 88. So she was doing very well, and then I got deathly ill. I mean, really ill. I mean, I was in the bed. I was really sick. I didn't know if I was going to make it. So I asked one of the shamans to take a look to see what was going on, and he said, well, your main problem is you're giving this gigantic amount of energy to your mother. I mean, just gigantic amount. And he said, I've got to cut it off because you can't do that anymore. And I had just talked to my mom. She'd spent 8 hours picking up leaves and acorns and things from the yard. I mean, 8 hours, okay?
She was doing great.
This is an 88, yes. And when he cut it off, she came inside, she went into the chair, and she never left the house again.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I did that without being aware I was doing it.
A remarkable story,
It really is, because I had no idea. And I would have just gone on and done it because I was doing okay. But then when I got that, you know, sudden illness that I felt like I might not survive. I mean, it occurred to me that this was really bad. And then that energy had to be cut off.
Sometimes it will actually look as huge as a fire hose. You know, a fireman.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said it was gigantic.
Yep. So, sometimes it'll look that large, and you can follow it. You know, to for the listeners, you can actually follow.
Yeah, follow
that
it. He did to my mom. Yeah. Yeah, but I thought it was so amazing because she went from spending 8 hours outside doing manual work to never leaving the house again. Which is, you know, she was out every day. She was driving. She was playing bridge. She was doing this. She was volunteering. She was, you know, she had cancer, but it wasn't doing anything. You know, it was just sitting there. It wasn't moving, you know. And it was just very weird.
Yeah, a little quick personal story kind of similar to that for the listeners is that my sister has MS, and she's in a wheelchair, and I was loading her up in the car, and all of a sudden, and we were giggling and stuff, all of a sudden, she let out a huge wail and let go and fell backwards and fell onto me, and then we both landed in the mud. And I knew that her leg had just broken. And
oh, man.
Yes. And I could see that her life as she, you know, had been living it was falling apart. While she was in rehab, actually doing quite well, I had bronchitis until I was on the couch for like 2 or 3 weeks because I took on that sadness, sadness and grieving tends
grief
to land in our lungs.
From the lungs, that's
yes.
right.
And so, see,
that's very true.
While she was
yeah.
doing well, I actually was down in bed with bronchitis.
You were transmuting her grief for her.
Yes.
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 Well, that's a very loving thing for a sister to do.
Yes, and
yeah.
also for a daughter, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's very true. Well, we really, I mean, and we do it, and the important thing to, for listeners to understand is that we're not conscious that we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do it consciously. I mean, you can do some things consciously for people, and you do at certain critical times. I mean, I've been in surgery, and things, you know, get very, very interesting in surgery very quickly, and I know that I'm doing things in surgery that help stabilize things, and then all of a sudden,
right.
you know, things correct themselves. But, you know, that's more of a, you know, a emergency situation where you need to do something quickly. But to be a healer, to be intuitive and then not realize that you're doing it is like, what? How could I be so unaware?
You know? Well, and, you know, that's the reason my company is called Living Aware, is to build up our awareness of how complicated, how intricate the whole energy system of our universe is and our physical bodies and our world. And the more aware that we are, the more we're going to be in charge of it.
Yeah, I'm studying cancer from a multidimensional perspective. And finding out all sorts of very interesting things about that, and it's you know what I really want to emphasize is we are much much more than just our third dimensional selves, and there are many more influences than simply physical influences. We do have to pay attention to the physical world. You know, the food supply isn't all that great sometimes. The, you know, you got to watch the water you drink. You got to watch the chemicals you put in your body or on your body. And you got to put, you know, watch things you put inside of your body like breast implants. You know, there's things to know about all that. But the majority of illness actually occurs because of energy center disruptions that have other influences. So that is, you know, that's the realm of medical intuition. I think only medical intuition can really address all of those multidimensional causes of things that can be quite dangerous.
And wouldn't that be great if every major city, every not-so-major city, had at least one or more medical intuitives, and it will become a natural component to Western medicine. That's what I think it's just beginning to lean towards, and I love that.
Well, it's important for a number of reasons. That, you know, we are spending more money per capita on our health care than anyone else in the world.
Yes.
And yet we're down, I think, below 50 in terms of, you know, we're not even in the top 50 countries in terms of our overall health. So throwing money at the problem isn't the answer. Throwing drugs, especially multi-pharmacy, is not the answer because of drug-drug interactions and other, you know, we're missing the point. We're missing the cause of the illness. And so I think the whole thing needs to be revamped. And medical intuition is, like I said, the first stop is, education is the first thing where you educate people.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they get sick, medical intuition, medical intuitive diagnosis is the first, the first step. And then working with the doctors to confirm the diagnosis, you know, with regular testing, that would be the next thing. But then a lot of things can't be confirmed. You know, you said yourself that there's things that are in the field but yet aren't going to show up on any tests yet.
Exactly.
But yet are causing symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, we're approaching the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time and perhaps a summary of what you want our audience to remember?
Well, my website is livingawareinc.com. And on my website, I actually offer two different free newsletters. And their mm-hmm. email newsletters. And one is for Reiki practitioners, and the other one is for intuitive information in general. And they will only, you would only get 12 a year because I don't send out a lot of stuff. It will just come out once a month. And that's real important. People are telling me that's been very helpful for their own practices. And mm-hmm. I love teaching this. And so if in your area, for the listeners, if you would like for me to come and teach this, it's about a 17-hour class that's usually a Friday evening, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. I love to do that. And if you know someone who would want to host me, I'd be glad to do that. And, one of the things I'd add, too, is the entire world is opening up to this. This is just not, the United States. I've had mm-hmm. clients recently from China, from India. I've just taught this in three cities in New Zealand. So mm-hmm. the whole world is aware of intuition and are really, they're really opening up. So I just love that. And then my book is Become a Medical Intuitive. And I really did break it down. I thought, how am I doing this, and how am I doing this so accurately? And so I started to study myself for about 6 months, and then I noticed each and every step, or I tried to, and that's really what I put in the book, is just step-by-step how to build this awareness for yourself as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the book. I picked up a few things that I didn't know, especially in the detail and the detailed point things that you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. So I like that.
You.
Well, any words of wisdom before we close? Anything you want people to take away? That any gems you can give them?
I would say notice instead of trying to get rid of your thoughts. Notice especially the thoughts that leap into your mind as if out of nowhere, because mm-hmm. that is, even as I say it, I got another wave of goosebumps, that mm-hmm. will be the clearest information that comes to you, is the ones that we call, oh, it just, came in out of nowhere. Very,
right.
very clear information. And I'd also remind everybody, it's not your imagination, but it will feel like your imagination. It's just really mm-hmm. the feeling of intuition. Feels like imagination, but it's the clearest, most real information around, I think.
And like anything else, the more you practice it, the better you get. So
oh,
you can
yeah.
practice on your friends, practice on your dog, practice on your,
everything.
On your patients, if you're a practitioner, just practice.
Yeah, just walk in to a room. If you're already a nurse or a physician listening
mm-hmm.
to this, just start noticing your initial hits. So
impressions,
to speak.
Yeah.
Yep, and impressions when you walk into an exam room. Just notice.
Yeah, I worked with a general surgeon, and he came up to me one day, and he said, "I just had a patient with tubercular peritonitis."
Mm.
And I said, tubercular peritonitis, how'd you ever make that diagnosis? He says, well, I don't know. I just knew he had it. I said, Donald, had you ever seen tubercular peritonitis? No. He was very intuitive. He really was.
He
was.
Oh, yes, he is.
And he was a trauma surgeon, and I'm going to tell you something. As a trauma surgeon, it pays to be intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
It really does, because they come in with God knows what, you know.
Yep. And,
not
yep,
always they, obvious. That's
and
right.
Zero in on where and
yeah,
when.
On what's going to kill him next. You know, you have to go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Tina. It was fun. I've been interviewing Tina Zion, Become a Medical Intuitive, The Complete Developmental Course. This is probably, of all the books I've seen, this is probably the best book on how to do it. And please pick it up if you've got any interest in it. Next week, we are going to be interviewing the author of Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. And on the 27th, Dr. Mike Kozowski, The Seers. We have the Abraham Hicks Meetup Group. Kent Boxberger does that at the office Wednesdays at 7:30. And Noetic Science this week on the 18th is Vicki Dean doing vocal imaging. She uses voice analysis to diagnose all sorts of things in the body, including chemical and other toxicities. It's very interesting technology. And then the Millennium Healthcare events, the 23rd, Cindy Stockton is going to be giving a lecture on the benefits of massage therapy. Thanks, Tina, for joining us. We really appreciate it, and hope to have you back. Maybe we can do your other book.
Oh, thank you so much. Many blessings
Alrighty.
To you and to everyone.
Okay. Thanks a lot. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.